Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Kerry Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Here we go, Jaguars This Week. Wednesday evening. You think it's the mic? All right, maybe it's the mic. Who knows? Let's switch mics. We've got an extra here.
How's that one working?
Hang on a second. Try that one again. 1, 2.
There we go.
Someone unplugged it.
Loggy.
Wasn't me. I wouldn't do that. Vic might have, or even Joe may have.
Cole sits over here. It may have been him. Good evening. How are you guys?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Good. Well, there it goes again, Joe. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little connection. I'm going to go to this other mic.
Right. Go to microphone 4.
It's like DEFCON 4, right?
There we go.
There you go.
Much
now,
better.
Real getting serious here. You can join us tonight, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. Twitter is at Jags Voice. So, where to begin? It's a busy time for the folks on the other side of this wall.
Yeah, that's where we begin, and I think that's maybe where we stay. And I know Jeff is big on this, and I did a story earlier today on it. I don't have near the expertise from an evaluation standpoint that Jeff does, and I don't do near as much work, so I'm working with more in a way of comments from I'm hearing, you know, what I'm picking up, that kind of thing, and I took a shot at how the bubble players look by position going into tomorrow's game, and I'll be interested to see if Jeff agrees or where he disagrees. There is a drama tomorrow night. The interesting thing about tomorrow night's game is this. A couple of years ago, maybe it was 4 or 5 years ago, Belichick pulled that stunt up in New England against the Jaguars where he benched everybody except the second and third team players. And now it's become the standard. It's, you know, what everyone does. They're sitting down as many – which only goes to prove. What these coaches, when they do that, are saying is, we don't need 4 preseason games to get ready. That's the one thing we know, is that 4 is too many. I guess they need 3 because the way they're doing it currently, but that could probably be cut to 2. But the one thing we know for sure is they don't need 4. So the 4th preseason game has become the exclusive domain of the marginal, the football player, the bubble guy who's playing for his football life. And, you know, if you sit down tomorrow and really watch this, And if you can pour yourself into the emotions of the Zach Potters and Jacob Cotrers and Jeremy Mincy, who is playing for his football life, you know, I would hope that you would be able to feel the sensitivity that is in the emotion and the desperation that those guys have.
Before we go too far, and that's obviously going to be a theme of our show, but, you know, I asked Jack yesterday when we were taping his TV show, I said, you know, the thing I'm looking forward to most about 2 preseason games is we don't get this 4th game where we don't see anybody. And he says, well, what makes you think that'll change? I said, are you telling me that when you go to 2 that the coaches will pull this with the 2nd preseason game? And he said, yes. And so it sounds like maybe they only need
it's not a matter of what game it is in the preseason. I think it's a matter of the proximity to the start of the regular season. And that's, you know, when they start to get close, I mean, coaches now are saying, why should I risk, you know, a player who may be making, you know, or we have guaranteed $50 million to for a game that doesn't count at the end of the year?
I'm with you, but I'm going to add this to it. That's fine. There's, you know, these guys have an investment in their bodies, and the team has an investment in them too, and there's no need to risk them carelessly or recklessly or needlessly. Understood. But if you are a coach who elects not to play his starters in game 4, your team better play well in game 1. If you don't play game 1, you don't play well in game 1 and you blew a chance to improve in game 4, you need to be spanked.
It's a no-win
you
situation,
need to be spanked,
though,
right?
What, yeah, but what if you put David Garrard out there, even for a series, and he gets hurt? Well, I mean, then you lose also.
The
you
preseason is for getting your team ready to play the regular season, and when you don't play it in Game 4, we are to assume that you have judged your team to be ready, which is why I asked that question of David Garrard after Game 3, because I knew they weren't going to play in Game 4. Are you ready? And he said yes. Okay. Now, what that means is that come September 12th, you better be ready.
You better be ready.
You better be ready because because you blew a chance to get more ready.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see who they play and for how long tomorrow night, you know, because I think there are certainly some position groups that you'd like to see more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the front line, I mean, you saw two games in which they clearly got better from Game 2 to Game 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the linebacking group really hasn't played much, and I was looking at it today. I think me and Brian were talking about it. You know, your three starting linebackers, four starts, okay, between the three of them out of
16 possible if they
well,
don't play tomorrow
16,
night.
Well, not 16, it's 12.
Yeah, but if they don't play tomorrow night, it will have ended 3 of 16.
Well, 3 of 12, three positions, four games.
Hello.
So, I mean, that's
why I'm a journalist major.
I mean, that's kind of a concern. I mean,
the starting linebackers at no time have played a down of football in this preseason together.
No, because Justin Durant played in Philly, Daryl Smith didn't. In Miami, Daryl played, Justin didn't. And then in Tampa, Daryl, Justin, and Kirk all did not play.
Right. So they will not have played a down of football together in the preseason.
Yeah.
That's a good thing?
No, that's not a good thing. And, you know, I don't know what the playtime expectations are for this week's game tomorrow night or, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I would expect the secondary may be a group that you see play some because, you know, they haven't really settled that. At
what would you
position.
Do if you were a head coach, play in or rest in?
I'd like to play some guys. You know, maybe for not a long period of time, but just to get, you know, the unit that's going to be there September 12th on the field for some time, I'd like to see my unit out there.
You know? The old standard was that the start, you treated the fourth preseason game like you treated the first preseason game, or the sixth as you treated the first. The starters went one quarter, but the starters went one quarter hard. In other words, this was your one quarter to really get it done, get it tuned up and ready for the regular season. Now they're not going at all, and I there's a demand that has to go with that. And the demand is, you better be ready.
Are there a couple of guys you'd like to see, even if you can't see the unit? And I'm thinking of Eben Britton. You were talking last week about game shape.
Well, I'd like to see, I mean, to me, the offensive line, I mean, those are the grinders, and they need to play. Particularly because, you know, you haven't had any, you know, consistency at that lineup. You know, Eben didn't play until last week. He had some mixing and matching. But probably the most interesting thing to me is going to be tomorrow night. Who's going to start
at left guard
on offensive line? At left guard, right guard. I mean, because remember, Uche, if Vince is in the lineup, then he's a right guard and Uche's a left. If Vince is not in the lineup, then Uche's the right. And who's going to be the left? Is it going to be Keenan Forney? Is it going to be Justin Smiley?
Okay, I got a question for Jeff. Should I wait until after the break or should I ask it now?
Let's leave it right now because we've got the break.
Ask it now and I'll ponder it during the commercial.
Last year, the Jaguars kept 9 offensive linemen going into the season, then cut Maurice Williams shortly after that and went the rest of the year with 8. So they could go in with 9 or they could go in with 8. It sounds to me like it's going to be more like I'm thinking 8. I'm thinking 8 because they got special teams guys. Like Montel Owens and Kasim Osgood, Sean Considine, Deji Kareem, Scotty McGee, that they need to find places for. If they go in with 8, I want you to give me your 8 when we come back.
All right, there you go, folks. You have it. 8, 9, who are they? Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. By the way, September the 12th, opening day, Teal Sunday. The Jaguars host the Broncos, presented by Winn-Dixie. You can show your true colors and your Jaguars pride by wearing your teal to the game, and you can get your teal on by picking up a special limited edition teal t-shirt, $5, available at Jaguars merchandise outlets in the stadium, Jacksonville branches of Football Fanatics and Sports Mania. Teal Sunday presented by Winn-Dixie, opening day against the Broncos. More to come after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline and get $2 in Jagbucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. All right, Loggy, the question is, how many offensive linemen do you keep? Who are your 8 or 9?
I think it's looking at 8. And the reason I say that is the special team situation, because Kasim Osgood, right. Montel Owens. You may add Scotty McGee to that mix. Deji you could maybe consider Deji Karim. So I don't know. I mean, I would like to have 9, but I think 8, because you got the ability to put a couple guys on practice squad, is going to be the number. Now, how I have it working out is Eugene Monroe and Evan, Brad Meester, Uche. I mean,
that's 4.
That's 4. Jordan Black is 5. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Haslam, I think, is 6.
Okay, we're right on both. Okay. That's what I have.
Now the question becomes, do they keep
2 or 3?
2 or 3 more.
The left guards.
And they're all guards. Keenan Forney, mm-hmm. Justin Smiley, Vince Monowar.
So it's 2. It's 3 for 2 positions.
Yeah, 3 guys for 2 spots.
Do you care to pick?
If it were me,
uh-huh.
I'd take Vince Monowar and I'd take Justin Smiley.
Jeff, I think those are their 2 best guards out of that 3. My concern with Keenan is that 11 years in the league, they start to break down, and you can't count on them on a weekly basis. The one thing about Vince is that the Jaguars have always been able to count on him. He played all last year on that. He didn't play well.
Reconstructed.
He didn't play up to his standards, but he played on that ACL all year long. 1 year he played on a torn calf, the whole year. So that's the one thing about Vince is, you know, that
he's going to play.
He's going to wheel himself out there.
And I still say this, that Vince can give you something that the others can't give you, and that's a dominant physical presence. And I thought he played very well.
Of those 3, though.
In Tampa.
Of those 3, I think the one that might, and it's a little bit of a reach, might have some trade value is Vince. If there's one of those 3 that might get you something on a conditional basis, if you can find it, if a team surfaces that has a crushing need at guard, he would be the one. I don't think you get anything for Smiley. I don't think you get anything for
Keenan. No, and I think if considering, okay, well, I think sometimes you got to look at it as who can we let go that we still may be able to call back at any point.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan may be that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have film, you know, last year at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was hurt prior to that. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that I think that if you do need him, you can go back and get him. You know, with him, he's been hurt. With Justin Smiley, he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be reluctant to take 2 guys over a guy who's played to keep on the roster. I want somebody who's been durable.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince has been durable. Yeah, and you're right. He didn't play great last year. But I just keep going back to that thing. And that, you know, hey, look, I mean, Vince did things against Albert Haynesworth that nobody in the league could do.
I have a feeling, though, it's going to be Forney and Smiley.
Because of Vince's salary.
Yeah.
What if Vince would agree to take less money?
I have not heard that at any time he has been approached to do that. I would think that by now you would have approached him.
Doesn't that tell you something?
I think he's got a chance to be the starter. I mean, last week, I thought he played well in Tampa.
Well, you showed it on the smart board on Monday night.
Yeah,
you showed play where he got collapsed by the...
He had one play, Vic, and I know you're busy doing things on Monday night, so you don't see it. There was a 3rd-and-1 short yardage play, and you probably remember it because Montel Owens actually looked pretty nifty, and then he kind of knifed through a little hole and made jump.
Yep.
There was like 4 or 5 guys that kind of collapsed on the back of Vince Monowai, and he went down to a knee. It was kind of a double team, and the tight end, the tackle, they all kind of collided into his back. And, I mean, most mortal men would just go to the ground and be buried. Mm-hmm. He went to one knee, and he had his eyes to the linebacker, and he actually crab crawled and got a chip on the linebacker from his knees to allow Montel Owens that little crease.
Okay, now let me ask you one more thing about Vince. Does the 1st-round pick need him? Would it be?
No.
He doesn't need him for a friend. He doesn't need him.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. you know, and you can't think that way.
I know, but you are talking about a guy who has come across the continent, who is in a different culture, is in a different land in many ways. I mean, you know, California is different from anywhere else. Hawaii is the other place to which he is accustomed. And here's Vince, a guy from the neighborhood. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I mean, maybe that will work in Vince's favor.
Well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I can't answer that. But I just, to me, I make my opinion based on what I've seen and what I've seen in the past, and I know what Vince has done.
Oh, let me say this
And I saw what he did in Tampa, and I thought he had a good outing.
Just about every morning I get down to the cafeteria to get a cup of coffee. Vince and Tyson are sitting at a table eating breakfast, talking. I mean, they do interact a lot.
Well, and yeah, that Samoan culture tends to. I mean, when you had Chris Naoli here and Joe Tuapala and Chris Fumatumaafala, I mean, they were all together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, they would all go over Naoli's house for dinner.
No question. I mean,
although the kid was on Monday night with us.
Hey, look, I'm trying to find a way to keep this guy here because I like him.
Right.
I mean, I really, really like him, but I think his salary is the biggest negative he's got going. I think his salary.
If he's a starter, it's not.
No, but I still think it's. I think it's hurting him. I wish he was a minimum wage guy. If he was a minimum wage guy, he's a lock.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting battle. You know, the tight end position I think is going to be an interesting battle. And
Wilford or Potter.
Well, and that's the question. You know, and do you take Wilford because he can play some wide out, he's an H-back, he's a pretty good wide receiver, or do you take the better blocker? Because Zach Potter has had an absolutely dominant preseason in blocking.
And lately I've been told that he has really come on lately.
No, big time.
Yeah. I got to use a minute here.
Yeah, go for it.
This is the stuff that keeps me – the Zach Potters and the Jacob Coutreras keep me young, figuratively speaking. Every time – at this time of the year, we get to this time of the year, I look for these long-shot guys, you know, these bubble guys. Their career's on the line. Their hearts are in their throats, you know, going into these games. Last week it was Jacob Coutreras. And the one thing I've loved about the internet, about the website, it's allowed me – to build these kinds of drama on a more present tense basis. In my blog last week, when Coutreras got in the game, I said, okay, it's time to do a play-by-play on Jacob Coutreras. You know, we're doing a soap opera now. We're gonna play out this drama. And tomorrow night, I'm going to do it with Zach Potter. And I'm thoroughly enjoying this, to interview these kids. And you can see the tension in their face. You can feel their anxiety is palpable. And yesterday I interviewed Potter and did a story on him. And where was I? Why didn't I know about this story? This is a good story. This is a former defensive end that went to the Jets camp, and Buddy Ryan kept him there until final cuts, and then dismissed him.
Not Buddy Rex.
I'm sorry, Rex Ryan. Kept him to final cuts. And Gene Smith, and this goes to show you how thorough he is, saw a tight end in this guy, 6'7", 280. And, I mean, if you're a general manager, what does it say about you that you are scouting the defensive end cuts for a potential tight end, and see a potential tight end?
He knew that he played at Creighton Prep in Omaha, Nebraska. He was a tight end.
And I've talked in recent years about the need for small market franchises to be very, very creative in what could end up being a non-salary cap league. This is an example of how you can be creative. You've got to work harder. You've got to do more. You've got to find talent where others aren't even looking.
I can hear an avatar speaking somewhere.
Am I right?
No, you're right. No, you're right. But I mean, I can hear an avatar somewhere.
What's that mean?
From the you're a genius, GM. Oh.
What a freaking genius you are!
We've reached the bottom of the hour. It's time for news, and we'll be back with more of this show on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Talking roster with you here on the eve of the Jaguars' final preseason game. Cuts are due Saturday, 6 o'clock, right? Which is a transition from the past when it was always a Sunday final cut before Labor Day. So GM Gene and his staff have a lot of work to do. They've been working on it all week long. There's a very serious, studious look on the face of those gentlemen this week, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, Gene gets ultra intense. You know, his I mean, he really gets... He's always intense, but this is everything. This is the be-all in his life this time of the year, because you do not want to make a mistake that you have to live with for 10 years, and you can do it. I mean, it's just, if you just get a little soft, if, you know, at all in your evaluations, and, well, you know, we'll favor this guy because, well, he's been around here. Oh, no, 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 no. You get the least little bit soft and make a mistake and cut a young guy, and somebody picks him up and he turns into a player. Oh, you know, that's ugly.
All right, we've gone to the offensive line. We talked about the tight end position. Stay in the offensive arena and go either wide receiver or running back. Logs, you choose.
I'll start wide receiver, and I think the formula there is going to be five. I just don't think you have the luxury, even with a Kasim Osgood, of going six, because I think you're going to need – some numbers elsewhere, particularly with Scotty McGee and Deji Karim. And maybe it wasn't going to be an issue with Scotty McGee if Deji Karim were going to enter the season healthy. But now all of a sudden you're looking at you may not have Deji Karim available for the opener on September 12th. So the wide receiver spot, I think it's going to be five. And on my sheet, Mike Sims-Walker, Jarrett Dillard, who I think has had 2 weeks that he's looked very good. Kasim Osgood, a special teams guy. Mike Thomas is a lock. And the battle comes down to Troy Williamson or Tyquan Underwood.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I think that one's a lock, too.
You think it's Underwood?
Yeah, I think that one's done.
This is your young guy theory.
Yeah, I think wide receiver's done.
You know, and see, if I were doing it, I'd probably be tempted to lean towards Troy. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that, I think he's a little more polished of a deep threat player. Tyquan is better in traffic than Troy. Troy had the drop last week at Tampa that was just, I mean, couldn't get any easier than that. But that drop that he had may have been the icing on the cake. And my thinking is that who's going to get Tyquan? You know, played three games in all of 2009, doesn't have a lot of film, practice squad eligible. Troy obviously would not last long if he were out on the market. There are some teams that want wide receiver. So, my thinking is a lot of times is finding a way to keep both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my decisions, my thinking doesn't have anything to do with money or anything. I'm trying to keep guys and keep jars on the shelf, so to speak. And I think Tyquan has had a phenomenal camp. It's been great to watch his progress, but I think you're not at great danger of losing him. But I do consider what you just said. And that here's a guy that if somebody else grabs, is he going to be a guy that all of a sudden you regret because he developed somewhere else?
Yeah, see, I don't think at this stage of his career you would regret someone signing Williamson. But Underwood's upside is significant. At least the potential for it is significant. And you could be consumed by regret down the road. Now, let's not forget, a lot of teams have made mistakes at wide receiver because it is a position where there are a lot of guys. You know, guys went on to play somewhere else. Let's see. Yancey Thigpen was a Charger initially. And
Steelers and Titans.
Steelers and Titans. Jimmy Smith was a Cowboy and
Eagle
and, you know, with the Jets momentarily. And he went on, of course, to have potentially a Hall of Fame career. So there have been Chris Carter. Chris Carter's the one. So you can make mistakes at that position, and I think you have to be vigilant and diligent about addressing youth. By the way, while we're on the subject of mistakes at wide receiver, what in the world were the Bengals thinking? $8 million. to Antonio Bryant and they cut him. What a mess. And you replace him with T.O.? You know, we wasted $8 million on Antonio Bryant, but hey, we've got Terrell Owens, which is nice. I mean,
that a small market team would do that.
What
low revenue
were
team
they
would
thinking?
Do that.
A wide receiver. You just don't do that. It's they're a dime a dozen.
355 NFL 1 800-355-6351. You done it, receiver?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people say, "What about John Matthews?"
There's a classic example, a dime a dozen.
You know, very polished receiver. I mean, maybe practice squad type of player. But I think one thing that's going to hurt him is that he has not played, I don't think, great on special teams. And you've got to consider whether you can get a guy active on game day and would he have a role on special teams.
No.
He hasn't been great on special teams. So, you know, something to consider. But, I mean, a guy that certainly has, I would think, opened some eyes around the league, you know, maybe even Indianapolis at some point, or maybe even this team. He goes on practice squad. You don't know.
Yeah, he's an Austin Collie type.
That's exactly where I was going. That's what most Jaguars fans remember is Austin Collie coming out of nowhere and looking like a polished receiver all season. Of course, Peyton Manning helps.
Was Austin Collie a guy they picked up, or was he a draft pick?
He was a draft pick.
And so was Pierre Garçon, right? He was undrafted from Mount Union.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, wow. I mean, you know, Austin Collie and Pierre Garçon. And Collie was a fifth-round pick?
Yes.
And that's your and the other one was undrafted or even a lower pick. So I mean,
and no one knew anything about him.
I mean, you know, Marcus Colston, who is the leading receiver for the Super Bowl champion Saints, was a seventh round pick.
Okay,
from Hofstra.
You know the common theme that you're talking about with all these guys?
Great quarterbacks.
There you go.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great quarterbacks.
Boy, isn't it amazing how good a quarterback can make a wide receiver look?
No question.
That certainly helps.
355 NFL 1. Grab a couple of phone calls before we go to the running backs and let's talk.
Go to JR. I think he's got good while we're on the offense.
Whoever it is. JR, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I got a question for you. Hate to piggyback off the last show, but you said something that made me literally stand up out of my chair. And the question was, I want to say it was Jeff. The question was, are the Jags really wanting to be a run team this year or not? I don't know. From what I'm seeing, the debate hasn't really even come up at all, but Luke McCown looks pretty comfortable and pretty poised in the pocket, in my opinion. I don't know if he's ready to kind of take the helm, and I'm not saying, you know, he should be in there in front of Dave or anything like that, but I think the question should be raised is, you know, we've had some success throwing the ball. We have some athletes out at receiver this year, and we've had some successes. So I'm wondering, are we really going to be that run team? And if we're not, is Luke maybe a better option if we're going to go to a more spread passing type offense? I'd love to hear what you guys think.
You got a two-part question here. Let me answer the second part of that. Would they be better off with Luke McCown? In my opinion, I think David's the better option right now. And you got to remember something. When you get a quarterback who has some season into him, some experience, like a Luke McCown in his sixth year, and then you consider and take into account at what point he's entering the preseason game and who he's playing against, you got to remember, Luke is playing against second and third teamers. He's not playing against frontline guys for the most part. Now, to answer the first part of your question, are they a run team or are they going to be a pass team? I don't know. You know, I really don't know. You know, they've thrown the ball a ton in the preseason. They've done that over the last couple of years and ended up being a running football team. But, you know, you've got some influence that's not there anymore, you know, on offense, coaching staff-wise. You know, Mike Tice is not there. Kennedy Pohl is not there. Pretty strong, influential coaches with the offense. And they were a running backs coach and a former offensive line coach who was coaching tight ends. How will that change Dirk Cutter? How will that change the offense? And we're going to find something out. When are cuts due? Saturday, Brian?
Saturday, 6 o'clock.
I think we're going to learn something when the cuts come about, because you're looking at Greg Jones, Brock Bolin. You're looking at Ernest Wilford and you're looking at Zach Potter. Where they go roster-wise, I think, will give us a hint as to where they're going to be.
By the way, is it Keith?
No, J.R.
J.R., I'm sorry. J.R., you don't pay a quarterback $8-some million and sit him on the bench on opening day. That's when the owner comes looking for you.
355 NFL 1. J.R., we appreciate the phone call.
Yeah. It's okay, except on opening day.
David's the guy.
Yeah, he better, the guy making $8 million, $9 million better be your starter at least on opening day.
On opening day.
And maybe another week or two. But, I mean, if you're going to pay a guy $8, $9 million and you open the season with him on the bench, you made a major, major evaluation screw-up.
Very true.
Phone lines are blowing up. We'll take this opportunity to take a break. By the way, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. More Jaguars this week. After this quick timeout, you're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Jaguars fans, Bud Light, Winn-Dixie bring you the freshest beer in town. Bud Light, so fresh it's packaged the very same day. Don't miss out on Day Fresh Bud Light, Friday, September the 3rd, just in time for Labor Day weekend, only at Winn-Dixie. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, phone lines are stacked. Let's get right to it. We'll go to Alan, who joined on line 4. What's up, Alan?
Hey, I like David Garrard. I just wish he would get a little bit more quick and not get so much tunnel vision. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of what he did last year where you know exactly where he's going, and the release just isn't very quick.
Well, you know, I will say this. At Tampa Bay, there were some throws that I think that he would like to have back and weren't very good, to be honest with you. The throw to Greg Jones, the ball that was intercepted, was not very good. He tried to squeeze a ball in to Zach Miller going down the seam where he had a linebacker in great position of safety over the top. I think it was almost 3 interceptions in that game. He had one for sure. The one thing that I would like to see maybe a little bit better out of David is his footwork get faster. His release is fine. Got great arm strength, got great release. But if his feet would get settled faster, then he would be considered having a quicker decision-making process and would be considered quicker with the ball.
Well, you know what they say is the feet move according at the same speed that your mind does. You know, as you process information, so do you move your feet. And David has been honest about it, that the processing of the information is his weakness. So how did he do it in 2007? They made it real simple.
Well, in 2007, you had the number one rushing attack in the league, too.
Exactly. It was as simple as hand the ball to these guys, Fred and Maurice Jones-Drew, and the defense will overload against them, and that means that we're probably going to have somebody open, and we'll just go to him. You know, you didn't have to do as much reading because you kind of knew where the ball was going to go and just go there with it.
And here's the question, okay, obviously you'd love to get back to that.
That's the plan, isn't it?
Well, is it?
That's what we're all wondering. Is that the plan or not?
Well, that means you would think that that's what it's going to be, but, I mean, is it the plan? But the question becomes, you've got a marquee running back who, let me look at the stats here, 6 carries minus 2 yards and didn't play last week and
won't play this
week. Got a knee.
Wait. How do you know he got a knee?
Well, I'm assuming it was some type of knee injury.
Do you know that no one in this organization has mentioned the word knee yet? I mean, we got a... Del Rio said the other day that it won't require surgery, but he didn't tell us what won't require surgery. He said that he hasn't had surgery on it, but he didn't say what he hasn't had surgery on. No one has used the word knee. So I got to take my information from these screwy websites?
You've covered that pretty well. You're not real happy with the disclosure.
No, this is wrong.
But I'm just assuming that it was a knee because, I mean, I'm not taking it as far, that he had surgery or anything, but if it's a knee, I mean,
Well, he's had that over the last couple
of years. Well, it hurts a hibiscus.
He's your bell cow.
Hibiscus.
Right?
I mean, a meniscus.
355-NFL-1. Alan, thanks for the call. Let's grab William, who is in Riverside. William, how are you tonight?
Hey, fellas.
Hello, William.
Hey, man, it is great to be a Jaguar fan. It's a great day in Jacksonville, and people need to be saying that a lot more. I had some comments about Jack Del Rio. I know you guys watch the team a lot and whatnot, and I have really noticed, and I've talked to a few friends, and I've actually heard this mentioned on a few boards. He really has some swagger right now. Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah,
he's walking around like he's really proud of his team, and he's got a lot of right to be. The team's doing really well, but you could tell he's a little different this year. And I just wanted to say that I think that translates to the team, the way they perform, and they kind of feed off of one another. I'm really excited about the direction of the team. Gene Smith, he's like the man. He's like my hero. And I made a bold prediction in front of some friends last night who were all naysaying about the Jaguars this, the Jaguars that, which is the kind of flack that I usually get whenever I hang out with my NFL buddies. But they were all talking about, they'll be gone in a couple of years. And I made the prediction that this team would turn around within 2 years to the point that they're going to have a hard time, getting people to find tickets. They're going to sell out, and then maybe in a couple of years, they may even be thinking about uncovering those seats. And I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that off the air.
Where is this coming from?
What do you mean?
This surge of optimism about uncovering seats.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on, Vic. The glass is half full. For heaven's sakes, for one time, can you have positive outlook on your life for 1 minute?
There's no source. He was just talking with some buddies.
He's opining?
He is.
Okay. That'd be great.
And Vic, you know what? I know you're not big into body language. Okay, I know that. And William's comment about, the swagger that Jack has. But I will say this. He does have a confident air about him, about this football team. And in particular, after what he saw in Tampa Bay, he feels very confident about that defense. And I think rightfully so. Yeah, he does.
I don't get that.
Are you previewing your...
Well, I know you don't get that because I watched your Andy Rooney thing on Monday night, and boy, I mean, what a downer.
I think their offense is ready to go, but I don't think their defense is ready to go at all.
I think the defense, the front seven defensively, is ready to go.
I can't understand how you'd make that call.
Downer Debbie.
Are you previewing?
Linebackers can't even get on the field.
No, I know, but they're veteran guys. I don't worry about them that much.
Are you previewing your pregame interview with Jack, which you did earlier today?
No. I'm just. The vibe that I got from him after the game, from watching his press conference, I just think he's got a very confident air about his defense again that hasn't been there in a couple years.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he's sending that kind of a signal because I have nothing but concern on defense.
No, I know you do. I know you have concern. I know you have concern.
You're laughing at me like I'm a boob, no, like I don't know anything.
No, not because you're a boob.
They gave up 406 yards passing in the first two halves of the preseason.
Just because you're Vic. That's why I'm laughing.
Do you know what you were up against Saturday? Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not looking at Josh Johnson. I'm looking at individuals on defense. Okay. And I'm looking at a veteran offensive line that was going against a brand new defensive line, and I saw some things that I liked.
I liked the defensive line, and that's where it stops right now.
But it always starts with the defensive line.
That's right.
All that and more in hour number two.
You said that, too, by the way, with your Andy Rooney piece.
You're right.
News is next. News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, hour number two. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. The senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Joe Fortunato is here, and we're talking roster this evening. Slow progress through it. On the offensive side, the only position group we have left to tackle is the running backs, and we've got a caller who hung through the news with a question about running backs, so let's just kind of segue there. First of all, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good.
I've got a question about MJ and Jack Del Rio and the management. If he's got a meniscus tear, that's a month. So he's been out for 2 weeks not practicing, didn't play in two games. And then my telltale was Jack saying he's rehabbing.
That's right. He
so
said that.
Hiding it?
He said he's rehabbing. He didn't tell us what he was rehabbing, but he said he is rehabbing.
Because I've had a meniscus tear myself, and it took about a month to rehab.
Now, but here's the thing. What are you talking about meniscus? I mean,
we don't know.
I haven't heard that. Nobody knows.
In the knee.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's a lot of things that can be in the. I mean, in a knee. I mean, it could be cartilage. It could be ligaments. It could be bruised.
I heard he was spotted on a plane going to Birmingham yesterday.
Well, my thing is, guys.
But I mean, what was he going to Birmingham for? Nobody knows.
Why is he hiding it?
What's
to hide? I mean, if he's hurt, then just say it.
Now, that's the intrigue that we're going through right now, because the league doesn't require these coaches to reveal, doesn't require teams to reveal injury information during the preseason. Therefore, they're not going to do it. And frankly, I don't blame them, but I do blame them because I think the fans, the ones, not the bettors, not the fans who bet, but the ones whose hearts are in this, the ones who really worry.
But their wallets, too.
Yeah,
they buy
forget
the
tickets. I'm talking about just the heart now. Just the ones who really worry about the team and whether or not it's star player, and he is their star player.
No doubt.
Is fit and fiddle for the start of the season, and they you know, quote-unquote, lose sleep about this. And I think they have a right to know. I think they deserve to know something. I don't think you have to provide information that's going to hurt you, although I don't know how you could get hurt on this because you're not going to cut him. So, I mean, why can't you provide some kind of information that the fan can believe, can trust is accurate, instead of all this misinformation we're getting, and we are getting a ton of misinformation.
Well, it's to their detriment. It's to their detriment because these stories take on a life of their own and get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, we already had one horrible piece of misinformation. Some screwy website said he had surgery.
Right. 355-NFL-1. Let's talk about the offensive backfield. Obviously, Maurice and Rashad are two locks. How many do they keep, and who are the others?
They kept four last year, and that includes all backs, running backs and fullbacks.
Going to keep five this year.
I would think. Because you got two special teamers in there, Kareem and Owens. Means one fullback, right? So it's real simple. It's Greg Jones or Brock Bolin.
Greg Jones or Brock Bolin. To go with Montel, yes.
One has to go.
You would think, yeah.
So how close is the competition? Make the case.
Well, this goes back to my question. How are you going to utilize the fullback position?
Run the ball.
If you're running the ball, Greg Jones is a pretty good blocker, although he didn't have a very good night in Tampa. Brock did. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking...
What didn't he have a good night at? Blocking?
There was one particular play that Greg Jones was a lead blocker, and I don't remember the exact position, but Rondae Barber comes up, and Greg slowed down prior to contact. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, wait a minute. Blow the guy up. Mm-hmm. He's a corner. Eat his lunch, and then push his face into the dirt. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. I didn't like that play.
Here's my concern with Greg is that he's on two ACLs and a microfracture. And he's had trouble staying healthy.
He's got a big salary, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, for a fullback.
A couple million?
Two and a half, I think. Two and a half, three, something like that. It's not outlandish. It's, you know, and the signing bonus has been paid. A couple years ago, he got a nice deal, you know, and he deserved it because he's been a staple for this team for some years, and it was a deal that gave him and his family security. Great, wonderful. The negative to those deals is that if you lose the least little bit, or if you get the least little bit of competition from a undrafted guy, minimum wage guy, which Brock Bolin is, you immediately become vulnerable.
Now, how about Bolin? What did you see on the tape when you looked at Bolin?
Well, he does give you some flexibility. I mean, he can carry the ball, a very good special teams player, an adequate blocker. Does he give you the strength that Greg Jones has? No, but he can do more.
Is he ascending?
Yeah.
That's an issue.
So, I don't know. I mean, to me, the things that are really going to be interesting to watch is obviously the formula. You know, and I just jotted down some numbers here. Looking at the offense, I mean, just the offense, and I'm talking roster formulas. Two quarterbacks, but pretty much assured it's going to be two. Tight ends, you would think three. Five wide receivers, right? Eight offensive linemen, five running backs. That gives you 23 on offense. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you look at how I split it up, you've got 23 on defense because I've got eight D linemen, five linebackers, six corners, four safeties. That's 23. You've got three specialists. So that gives you 49. You still got three spots. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to be a little heavy somewhere.
Four. You got four spots. 49, you got to go to 53. You got,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Jeff, if
so, you got four spots. I mean, you know, do you go with nine at defensive line because you've got some young ascending guys? Aaron Morgan certainly has flashed.
You could. That depends on what he does tomorrow night. If he has a big night, you have no choice to either, because he's a pass rusher, either put him on your roster or you'll lose him. As it stands right now, I think you could get him through to the practice squad. Do you think you could get Bolin through the practice squad? I do.
Yeah.
Then do it. Keep Greg Jones, cut Bolin, re-sign him to the practice squad, you're covered.
I agree.
355.
I agree. But if you want to keep it even. 25 on offense, 25 on defense, which is not what maybe a perfect world.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that.
Offense always gets heavy, doesn't it?
Does it?
Don't you always? But not with this team, because you usually go heavy with
defense
offensive linemen.
Defense is usually a little bit heavy because that's the core of your special teams.
That's right.
You know, so defense is usually where you may end up getting 24, and then or 26, and you'd only have 24 on offense.
You see, but usually you go heavy on defense at linebacker because those were your.
But you don't
on this team.
Have it right now. That's where you may end up picking up numbers elsewhere, because. When I look at the linebacking group, you've got your three starters and Russell Allen, and I think Tony Gilbert's going to make the team. That's five. What do you do after that? I mean, has anybody else shown you? Teddy Lehman hasn't shown much. The guy that probably shown a little more than anything is Rod Wilson. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you end up going light there and only keeping five?
Yeah, you know, Rod Wilson is a guy that he'll be out in the street for you anytime you want him. And Cotrera can go to your practice squad if you want some depth at linebacker. So I'm more than likely they'll keep five linebackers. I'm thinking that they go four and four, tackle and end, unless Morgan was to light it up, is to light it up tomorrow night. Then that would change that. Then you have to keep them, because if a guy gets a couple sacks, the tape is out there and there's nothing you can do.
And
unless you don't play him tomorrow night and you've already made the decision he's going to the practice squad.
And you've got... If you go nine defensive linemen, five linebackers, you could go seven corners and four safeties, and that would give you 25.
You know, that decision on Aaron Morgan may have already been made. He may get no playing time tomorrow, and he's going to go to the practice squad.
Yeah, but he played a lot in the first half, and he played pretty decent in Tampa.
Okay.
All right, folks.
I think they're going to go heavy on the defensive front.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about players on the defensive side. Morgan, in-depth, and more. Hey, you can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. More to come after this. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here, Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman with you. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. Twitter at Jags Voice, and we will move those questions to the front of the line. Let's talk about the defensive side, and you both talked about it begins up front. So, How many and who?
You know, I figured 4 and 4. Four defensive tackles, which I would have as Knighton, Alualu, Duzable, and Ellison. All right?
Okay.
And then 4 defensive ends, which I would have as Campman, Hart, Harvey, and the other obvious
Lane.
One, Austin Lane, the draft pick. Mincy, of course, is playing for his professional life. The poor guy seems like he's always in that situation. And I would try to get Morgan through to the practice squad, which I think you could still do if you don't play him tomorrow night or if he doesn't play well tomorrow night. But if he plays well tomorrow night, pass rushers are at such a premium, someone's going to probably lift him. Although maybe not. But that's what I would go.
Who would be easier to get to the practice squad? Austin Lane or Aaron Morgan?
Morgan. Lane, that size, Jeff, and range. See, Morgan is light and high. He's got 2 strikes in my estimation. He's light. That can be fixed during the next offseason.
Yeah, he really needs a year.
He needs a year. And he plays high. He throws his head back. And, you know, he got blasted up in Flowery Branch in that combined practices. Somebody got under him and lifted him into the air, and he's got to learn to play lower.
Yeah, you'd like to have a year to develop him. Let him get some size, let him get some strength, because he's kind of a linebacker playing defensive end. He doesn't play strong, but he can rush the passer. He's kind of got that little knack. You know, he's got some good moves.
How did he do against Donald Penn?
You know, it was a little disappointing, not the way he played so much, in that he didn't have a lot of opportunities. I mean, he had a couple. He didn't do much with them. And then later on, when he got against the backups, he started to look good, you know. So there were a couple things where they had him kind of that roving rusher, you know, like the Lawrence Taylor type style, where he had 3 down and he was up on his feet and then he would drop back. And so I was like, gosh, I want to see him rush the passer. You know, I want to see him matched up against those guys. And he was dropping into coverage and they bring the blitz from the other side. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd have him on the practice squad and let him have a year to develop physically, let him get some size, let him get some strength. Austin Lane, I think, is just, you know, he's a guy that hasn't played much in the preseason. He's made a couple plays to where he's flashed. But he's a big guy, and he's really the only other true left defensive end that you have.
He reminds me of – he's thicker than this guy, but he reminds me of Jason Taylor. With his wingspan and his range, and I mean, a poor man's Jason Taylor. Certainly, Jason Taylor was just one heck of a pass rusher. But Lane's got that wingspan that you can't coach. I mean, when a guy can scrape down the line as far as he does, that's special.
He's got some size, and he's a naturally built left defensive end, but he hasn't played a whole lot.
No, it's a problem. You know,
in the preseason, he was hurt for a little bit.
OTAs was hamstring, and then they pulled it again and started training camp. And he's been hit and miss.
Yeah.
How about Larry Hart?
Larry Hart, he's gonna make it. I don't think there's any question about him.
Yeah.
He's been durable. He's been consistent in the preseason. Has he flashed a whole lot? No, he hasn't. But the one thing that Larry Hart does give you that you'd like to maybe get from that 6th linebacking position as a guy that can contribute on special teams. And I think that's where you kind of say, okay, he's going to be our 6th linebacker. So you could end up with 9 on defensive line because you would consider maybe Larry as that 6th linebacker / special teams player.
All right. 355-NFL-1. 800-355-NFL-1. We talked about the linebackers, so let's go to the defensive backs. And we've got a couple of calls. Let's grab Paul, who joins us from the south side first. Hello, Paul.
Good evening, gentlemen. I wanted to ask a question here on Reggie Nelson. It seems like he's gotten an awfully long look here in the preseason in the games. Is he a guy that maybe the Jaguars would look at trying to trade? He's obviously not really lived up to expectations. Mm-hmm. Is there any trade value for him? And yeah, if so, you know,
I don't know. I don't know if there would be trade value for him, but let me say this.
There's no trade value in Reggie.
Almost certainly not. But let me say this. There's always a chance you can find, you might find somebody who fell in love with him when he was coming out, you know, into the draft. He's that was 07. He's only a few years removed, removed from that. Teams tend to stick with guys they liked and wanted to draft. They tend to hold on to that high opinion of them. And you never know. You might find somebody that had an idea of how they were going to use him, what they were going to do with him, you know, and really liked the way he fit into their picture. There's always a chance.
Yeah,
it's unlikely. It's unlikely because there's tape on him, and he's not going to pass a personnel evaluation. When you turn over the tape to the personnel director, he's going to put a don't do the deal grade on it.
I think it's interesting to see how that safety group is going to play out. I mean, are you going to keep four?
I wouldn't.
You'd keep three.
I'd keep three, and Brackenridge would be my fourth, and he's a corner who can play safety.
Okay, but then you've got Scotty McGee, who kind of eats up a corner spot.
Yeah, but he's a return man. We know that. He's just
I know he's just a return man. But, okay, let's say he's a return man. How many corners do you keep?
A six. Six corners. Six corners.
And three safeties. Okay. And Brackenridge?
He's a swing man.
Okay. So where would Brackenridge be classified in your 6-3 formula? As a corner?
As a corner.
Okay.
We got one more call. Let's talk about it. Rod from Mandarin. Hello, Rod.
Hey, guys. Hey, Vic. You and I, we spoke before the rain delay the other night regarding Michael Cole. Yeah, I was kind of hyping him up a little bit. You know who I am now.
Yeah.
You know, not hearing a lot of press on this guy. This guy's had a pretty good camp. You know, he's got an interception in the first game. I think he's out playing other guys. What you guys think?
He'll make the team.
He right now is probably going to be the first guy in if there were an injury to Derek or Sheen. He clearly has surpassed
because Starks
Don Carey.
Just stay in the nickel role.
Yeah, Starks, mm-hmm. I think Scotty would be in a pure nickel role. But, you know, I mean, if he had to go out there and play as a corner, I mean, Scotty's been hurt. And so you probably want to keep him in that role and that role only I'm talking about nickel. Mm-hmm. So
it's a valuable role. It's an important role. You don't want a guy thinking of himself as anything other than that.
No, I mean, that's a perfect role for him. Mm-hmm. And Michael Coe has had a pretty strong camp. I mean, he had a couple pass breakups
last week,
I believe.
Yeah, two.
And he had an interception against Miami.
Against Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, so
Michael Vick.
He's been pretty doggone good.
Don Carey's fallen off.
Don has.
What do you do there? Do you try to get him through to the practice squad, or you just say, let's move on?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because, I mean, they got William Middleton, too, who's a heck of a special teams player on a team that's got a lot of good special team players. I mean, it's not as though they're loaded with a lot of high-level cornerbacks, but they've got a lot of competent, accomplished cornerbacks. You know, Middleton can play, and Carey can play, and Coe can play, and Starks can play.
Well, what are you betting on if you keep Carey, that he's going to eventually get back to what you saw in him? Because
well,
he didn't.
Well,
he
didn't
he
see
started,
anything.
He well,
didn't
when
see
they,
anything
when they grabbed
until
the
this year. Because,
right.
I mean, he was spent all last year on IR.
Right. But what you saw in him when you saw him on tape.
You know,
at Norfolk State.
Gene's the only one that can answer that. But, you know, it looked okay in the OTAs, and then nothing came out of the gun in training camp.
He's got practice squad eligibility.
So you can move him over there.
And that may be where he ends up.
But, of course, there's always a chance you cut him. The Browns will claim him. No. That's
true.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Holmgren's there, though, now.
Yeah. But, I mean, Mangini's still there, and he's the guy that screwed it up. He might want to stick it, you know?
Yeah, maybe so. All right, folks, bottom of the hour, time for news. The Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2010. Bueller Swiss watches are available at Allen's Jewelers here in Jacksonville, Robeson Jewelry in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow down in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry across the river in Orange Park. We've got another half hour of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Well, when the Jaguars win, Joe Fortunato, and you win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. He'll be first in line for that free barbecue pork sandwich. You take your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after a winning game, and at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants, you will have a Sonny's free pork sandwich.
Nice.
It's a nice deal.
I'm going to start doing that.
That'll be at least 10.
I love Sonny's now. Mmm, that salad bar. Have you ever had their
I've not been to the salad
their
barbecue joint.
The barbecue chicken salad that they have on the salad bar?
No.
Oh, my.
So, John and
I'm a food connoisseur.
John and his crew at Sonny's should start delivering food on Wednesdays. Is that what you're saying?
That would be nice.
Okay. John, you heard it there first, buddy.
Sweet tea, banana pudding, pork sandwich with the, a little coleslaw.
Chicken.
You don't like the pork, Vic?
I can't eat. Not allowed to eat anymore.
Really?
No red meat.
Boy, how
the pork's white meat.
Nah, it's red.
It's the other white meat.
If it runs, don't eat it and don't eat its products. Whiter the bread, the sooner you're
chickens
dead.
Chickens run. Turkeys run.
No, but they got wings. Chicken's good. Turkey's good. Duck, if it swims, flies, that's great.
Can you have a little red meat?
No, I eat no red meat.
I mean, not even small.
I mean,
wafer thin piece.
I mean, I asked the doctor, I said, can I have a little cigar? No. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little.
I'm allowed to have a little red wine, though.
Yeah.
Doctor says I got to drink this.
What do you say about the scotch?
It's not red meat.
You're stuttering.
It's not red meat.
I have a feeling he said something and you don't want to believe it. Or you just chose not to hear it.
The doctor doesn't know, won't hurt him.
I'm just reading a website here that has just reported that Vic Ketchman had a cranial separation. Can we confirm or deny that? Do you still have your head on your shoulders?
I don't know about a cranial separation, but, I've been accused of being nuts, if that's what you're trying to say. And on this particular subject, I don't think I am.
All right. You can give your thoughts in here, and whether you want to talk about whether Vic's nuts or not. And we'll also.
Well, I don't want to talk about my nuts.
No, right? If you are nuts or not.
But you'll talk about your heart valves.
Poor Culpepper. He had a little slip up there, did he?
Oh, that was Monday night. It was the GM Jean show. Starring Terry McDonough, Monday night.
I heard it.
Yeah.
It was good. Well, first two segments, it was good.
I wonder if that would have brought it. I wonder if Gene would have laughed.
This
Did time
Terry
of the
laugh?
Year, I don't think so. There's no laughing this time of the year.
Did Terry laugh?
He got flushed in the face. He thought the police were going to come in.
He was thinking Booger and WKRP in Cincinnati.
That was good.
I try to have a little fun, you know.
Yeah, lighten things up a little bit. By the way,
made Cole stutter.
We are through the roster at this point. So how about a couple of notes from around the league? Matt Leinart is seemingly on his way out in Arizona. Former 10th pick of the first round, gonzo.
The toughest pick position in the draft, other than pass rushing defensive end, is quarterback. But you have no choice. You've got to draft quarterbacks. You know you're going to miss on some. You're going to make quarterback picks that are going to turn out to be busts, but you got to keep picking because you got to have a quarterback. Brady Quinn looks like a bust. Matt Leinart, bust. Achilles Smith and Tim Couch.
It's a long list.
It's a long list. And Kyle Bowler and J.P. Losman and...
And old Aaron Rodgers, who everybody just kind of downgraded.
Yes. Looks like the plum of them all.
I was thinking David Carr.
And he might be.
Wow. You know, I mean, they were.
He is a great football
player. He lasted, and everyone passed on. This team passed on him too, right?
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. You've got your choice, okay, of Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to make a list of young quarterbacks here. Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, Would you put Matt Schaub in there because he's relatively young?
Yeah.
Matt Schaub.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Cobb in Philly. That's really about it. Who would you take?
Rodgers.
All day long.
And Ryan would be number a very, very close number two. I love Matt Ryan. In fact, if you gave me Matt Ryan, I wouldn't feel bad at all about not having Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so what's the difference between the two?
Between Rodgers and Ryan? Mm-hmm. It's minuscule at this point, except that Rodgers has been around longer, and he's a little better.
I think Aaron Rodgers is a smarter quarterback.
He might be.
Than Matt Ryan.
Boy, Matt Ryan's good,
and that's saying
though.
A lot.
Oh, Matt Ryan's good.
Well, he had a unbelievable rookie year, but if you look at his year last year, he was,
an injury.
Kind of, I know, he had a toe. Yeah. He had a toe, and he missed a couple games, and he missed parts of others. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have a great year last year. You know, he had a year in which, you know, he kind of rededicated himself, I guess, to the film room and all that kind of stuff, you know. So,
hey, I made a comment. Go ahead, Joe. You want
to? I took a call from a guy off the air who wanted to know, to ask you, if the Broncos cut Brady Quinn, would he be worth going after?
No, I clearly it has not been a success. I advocated on draft day taking him because I knew that he was clearly the highest rated guy on their board at that point. And I support that. I've always believed in taking the highest rated guy on your board. And at that point, he was not just on my board. Forget about my board. I mean, I know for a fact he was the highest guy on their board at that point. There was I think that was the year that there was a cornerback from Michigan, the Hart kid, or not Hart. He went to Cincinnati. Cornerback. Was that the same year that the cornerback from Michigan that was drafted by Cincinnati? I don't have my draft book with me.
No, you're Leon Hart. Who you're right? Is that who you're thinking?
No,
of?
Leon Hart is that since that's Notre Dame stuff. But anyhow, it was a gap. There was Quinn, and then there was this cornerback from Michigan. I believe that was the same year, and then there was nobody. And now, I mean, it looks like Quinn is a raging bust. Maybe someone can pull out whatever talent he has, but it doesn't look like it's happening.
Let's stay with quarterbacks for just a moment. Ben Roethlisberger is going to meet with the commissioner on Friday morning, and everyone knows, it's been well reported, could be 6-game suspension, could be 4.
Yeah, no knock at the 4.
Well, and now Ben Roethlisberger is going with Art Rooney Jr. Is it junior or the third?
It's not junior. It's the second, I thought.
Okay. They're going together to plead to the commissioner, according to a story in Pittsburgh, for a smaller suspension than that based on his
based
actions.
On the way their quarterbacks played Sunday night.
It was pretty clear.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is the MVP.
Anybody who thinks that guy can't play, get real. By the way, he and Aaron Rodgers went toe-to-toe last year late in the season in an unbelievable offensive display that ended with Roethlisberger throwing a touchdown pass to win the game on the final play of the game, and that made it 503 yards passing for him, and I think Rodgers had 499.
Yeah.
This Rodgers is fantastic, and Roethlisberger, you might put him into that category too as a young quarterback. I think he might be younger than Rodgers.
Let me ask you this, Vic. You got a choice, okay? You're GM Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, genius. Friggin' genius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you already write your column?
No.
About what a friggin' genius I am?
I'm working on it.
You gotta play that. No, don't do it. He might be listening.
I'm working on it.
No, he's got something else going tonight.
You're a general manager, and you've got a team. Okay. You don't have a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You've got your choice. Aaron Rodgers, and knowing what you know right now,
right.
Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger.
Is Ryan in there too?
No. Those two.
No, Rodgers. I like Rodgers more than Roethlisberger. Now, I can tell you who GM Gene would pick. Big Roethlisberger guy. Big. I mean, ask him who the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the league are right now. He'll tell you. There's three. Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger. I mean, he's crazy about him. His ability to swat away defensive linemen. He burst onto the scene so quickly that people don't like that. You know, they don't like guys that only have success. And
I don't know. Tom Brady's had pretty much only success, and people like
but
him.
But he sat on a bench
yeah,
for
he
a
sat
year,
on the bench for a
you
while.
Know, that sort of thing. And of course, Manning. I mean, you have to love him. It's required.
Which one?
Peyton.
Both of them?
No, just Peyton. No. The other one you can not like.
By the way, the corner that we were thinking of was named Leon. It was Hall.
Leon Hall. Right. Leon Hart was great Notre Dame.
No, I knew that.
Leon Hall. I think, was he in the same draft as Quinn?
Yeah, no, he was. That 07 draft.
So it's coming back to me. There was Quinn and there was Hall. When they passed the first time, when they traded down the first time, I think Hall was available.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Okay. They should have taken Hall right there. Right there, they should have taken Hall. And the trade down hurt them. Then after they traded down, Hall was gone. I think they thought Hall would be there for them the next time. When they were to pick the next time, Hall was gone, and Quinn at that point was clearly the highest-rated guy on their board.
And they took Reggie Nelson and said, by the way, there's a name. I'm reading through the first round of the 07 draft. There is a name that stood out to me.
Revis?
No. I mean, we talked about Revis. But a guy who played really well for the Steelers the other night, the linebacker, Lawrence Timmons. I mean, 94 was all over the field.
Timmons is a good player.
But he was more active than I had seen him. Maybe it's because 56 and 92 attention. But 94 the other night was really good.
He came out early in his career and as a young guy. By the way, he and Justin Durant went to the same high school. They both played together at Florence, South Carolina. Can you imagine what that was like? Pretty good high school defense. Yeah. And but Timmons came out as not only a junior, but a young junior. So, growth necessary there. They're loaded at linebacker, and they could cut a pick of theirs, a guy named Thaddeus Gibson from Ohio State.
The Steelers could.
Yes, who they like very much, but they don't have room for him. I know they'd like to get him to the practice squad. Gene's a big Ohio State guy.
You know, I'm just looking back at this 07 draft. There are some really...
Oh, that was a good...
I mean, Jamarcus Russell's obviously a bust, but Calvin Johnson stands out. Joe Thomas, obviously, mm-hmm. Gaines Adams has passed away. LaRon Landry, Adrian Peterson, mm-hmm. Patrick Willis, Darrell Revis, mm-hmm.
pretty good.
Lawrence Timmons.
That's the one we've been over this before.
That's a really good draft.
Yeah, now you look at some of these guys and you see, I mean, it thins out a little, although Anthony Spencer's playing at a real high level for the Cowboys.
And who the Jaguars get in that draft?
Reggie Nelson. Ben Grubbs is
playing
for the Ravens.
They should have taken Hall the first with their first pick before they traded down.
Yeah. Paul Posluszny is high in the second round. Kevin Cobb.
Oh, Posluszny, there's a story on that. There's a story on that.
Gene liked him.
And the question was, as I understand it, what about Posluszny? And the answer was, he's not a playmaker.
Yeah, he is now. All right, folks, we need a break. We'll take it now. Come back. One more segment, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
I guess the other piece of news today is Darnell Dockett got a huge extension in Arizona. Did you see that? 4 years, could be worth up to $48 million.
He's a phenomenal player.
$30 million guaranteed.
He is, he's, besides some of his, I guess you could say, tweeting/pictures that he puts up of himself, and I guess talked about having a video of him showering. If you can look past all that, the guy is a phenomenal player, and he represents everything on the field on tape that you would like out of a defensive tackle.
Jeff, I'll tell you what kind of guy I am. I can look past all of that.
How about Brandon Spikes? Have you heard this up in New England? Supposedly there is a video of him with a young lady that's being posted on websites all over the place, and now they're talking about...
That's not good.
No, that doesn't...
About him, yeah. Violation of the league's personal conduct policy.
Well, I would think so, for heaven's sakes. You can't put sex tapes
on the internet.
I mean, my God. What? Now, Dockett, now, you see, he bit somebody, or what did he do when he was at Florida State? He hurt somebody unnecessarily, which I don't have a big problem with that.
You can look past that, too.
Did you see what James Harrison did to Orton the other night? Oh, and there was no doubt what he was going down for. He was going down to get him some quarterback. The quarterback decided on an interception that he was going to come over and feign tackle. You know, feign try to look like he was making a tackle. And when he got there, When he got in front of the train, he decided to go down on the tracks to try to get between the tracks. You know, maybe the train would go over him and he wouldn't get hit. The
train got lower.
The train went. The train decided to stop running for the end zone and
get the
hit
quarterback.
The quarterback. And he went down and he shoved. I mean, he thumped him on the ground. He actually speared him. He shoved his shoulder up around his eyeballs, and Orton didn't breathe for 5 minutes. You know, I mean, he knocked the wind out of him. He thumped him right on the back.
Is that a finable offense?
Oh,
he was a defender.
But now they're talking about, this was on NFL.com today, they're talking about forbidding quarterbacks from making a tackle after an interception.
Oh, so now you're going to go 11 on 10.
Well, Lambert's right.
Who said that?
That's what was on NFL.com.
Yeah, who wrote it?
I forget. I saw it and I got nauseous.
You know, the thing was, he didn't use his helmet. He didn't lead with the crown of his helmet. I mean, it wasn't like it was Gerard Warren against Mark Brunell.
No.
It was just a hit. He put his shoulder into a guy.
You know, hey, if you're going to come over here and you're going to cut me. You're going to come over here and you're going to try to cut my knees, cut my ankles, cause me an injury. You know, stay back out there where you belong. If you come over here, well, I'll show you.
Yeah.
You know, and then afterwards he said, "What was the quote?"
Well, he said he got what he deserved.
He got what he deserved.
He had
he said he was running his mouth earlier in the game.
Scrimmage, absolutely.
You know, there's a solution to that.
I knew you'd like that.
How about you make quarterbacks shut up then?
Well, there's a solution to that.
Don't throw an interception.
There you go.
Or run off the field.
There you go.
Joe Namath would have run off the field.
Oh, come on. Don't you be talking about Joe Willie like that.
You know, I mean, it is what it is, and you are what you are. I mean, you can't expect to tackle James Harrison. I mean, if you're a quarterback,
if you're Ben Roethlisberger,
and you really, I mean, this thing, you better watch what you say in the company of lunatics like that. These are bad people.
Well, when he puts uniform on you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this is a guy who really does want to hurt you.
That's okay.
I have no problem with it.
No, no.
Can we trade for him?
Every time I look at him, I think, you were undrafted. That is amazing.
Oh,
great football player.
The Steelers cut him once. The Ravens cut him. The Steelers got him back.
Yeah.
If you can get a couple of them.
Absolutely.
You know, not every year, but if you can get one contributor and hit a home run every couple years with an undrafted guy, that's going to make or break your football team. I really believe that, because you're never going to hit on all your draft picks.
16 and a half sacks. I mean, that's a grand slam.
Do you remember what Lambert said about quarterbacks? How to put skirts on him? He's right.
Yeah, but I thought that was John Hannah.
No, it was Lambert.
Didn't Hannah have a few things to say?
I'm sure he did. I'm going to tell you now, John Hannah. We're talking about one of the truly all-time great offensive linemen at guard. I mean, here's a guy who played guard, and you put him in the Hall of Fame. First bout, get him in. Just fabulous. Just fabulous player.
When are they going to start putting more big guys in the Hall of Fame?
What did they do this year? Grimm got in. That's a big guy.
How come it took this long
that's
for Grimm to get in?
Yeah. Well, because he's a guard. Grimm's in. That's a guard. That's good. Who else got in this year? This is a good class this year. Emmitt Smith.
Jerry Rice.
Ricky Jackson.
Jerry Rice loves him some him.
What a ridiculous speech that was. Wasn't that a ridiculous speech?
Yeah, he looked like he was.
He looked like he was high.
Yeah.
Hey, have a good time. You know.
Not at your induction speech. All right, let me ask you a question, because I had a conversation with somebody about this. In fact, me and Baselli were talking about some of the Hall of Fame induction speeches.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest Hall of Fame induction speech that you can remember.
Joe Green. He said something that touched me. You know, it's a line that I could I'd like to use here. If on Sundays in the fall, you aren't at Everbank Field, you're in the wrong place. In his case, he said, on Sundays afternoon in the fall, if you weren't at Three River Stadium, you were in the wrong place. And it touched me. I think it's a feeling that I'd like to see everybody have here.
The one I remember is James Lofton.
Yeah, I remember that now.
One of the best speeches. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm considering all speeches, one of the best speeches I've ever heard in my life. He was eloquent. He was prepared. I just thought it was top-notch.
George Halas's introduction of Mike Ditka.
I remember that one. I don't remember many of them.
He said Mike Ditka didn't try harder. He cared more.
How about, was it Walter Payton's son who made his in?
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
did the acceptance speech or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. That's memorable just because he was talking to his dad as he gave the speech. I don't remember the words, but I remember watching
I covered an induction ceremony one year. Alan Page was in the class, and Alan Page is extremely learned.
Oh, he's a Supreme Court justice in the state of Minnesota.
Supreme Court justice from
a defensive end.
His presenter was one of his teachers from his high school years, and his entire speech was about education. It was different.
Yeah, I like that.
It was different.
Great player and a great man. Yeah, no doubt.
Ricky Jackson.
Had a little trouble, huh? It's all right. He can hit you good.
And there's a place for that in this world. Preseason finale tomorrow night, 4:30, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. 6:30, pregame show. Kickoff at 7:30, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show. Talk to you then, folks. Have a great night.